live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach.
This is episode 163 of the Field to the Real podcast. We are trucking, moving. This is June 3rd.
Yep.
And we got some things coming up.
Yeah, just a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, be on a, okay, I know I just put that out there, but be on the lookout for the stuff we got moving, the stuff we got coming. We'll make sure that we post it and we get it all put out there for you guys. So just be on the lookout.
I will say the one thing that we can just mention right now that has nothing to do with the podcast, but it's very connected, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Is the Belong Group.
That's what I was trying to alley-oop you.
Oh, okay. So the Belong Group that I am facilitating through Transformation Church in Tulsa, mm-hmm. Oklahoma, I have been pretty much faithfully attending for the last 2.5 years, mm-hmm. since the pandemic hit, online at Transformation. And so I am happy to announce that I am now a Belong Group facilitator for a new group that it's called Calling All Athletes, Get Your Head in the Game for Christ.
Yes.
And so anybody can join if you're an athlete and you're out there, you're welcome to just go to, I don't have it pulled up right now, but if you go to Transformation, I think it's transformationchurch.us. And go to the Belong Group tab, you'll see, and you can just easily, they'll give you a list of all of the groups. You can find mine and you can join, and I'd be happy to have you. We'll meet weekly on Tuesdays from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just talking about how we make the word and the things that are being shared and we're learning, how we make them practical in our lives as athletes, how you can take what you hear and make it practical as an athlete. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Now look, I'm excited.
Thank you for the alley. I didn't know if you were talking about something. There's so many things going on. We got camps and I was like, well, okay. So
well it is, but I knew that this was coming up this Tuesday, but I didn't know all of the specs behind it. So I was trying to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I missed that alley-oop, but I caught it.
And yeah, oh no, you still caught it. Yeah, there we go.
I caught it. I did a layup. Instead of a dunk, I did a layup. So yeah, but yeah, so I'm really excited. It'll go from next Tuesday. So it's the Belong Group start June 5th and go through August 27th. I think mine is June 7th through August 22nd. So it's a 12-week and I'm just looking forward to it. I'm really excited. God is moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that for you because I feel like it is the culmination of kind of some of the things that you have been working on, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm just going to throw back out there just because we're going to make it happen immediately is Brunch for Believers. You know what I'm saying? That's coming back to you guys. Absolutely. But that B group is what made me think about Brunch for Believers, you know what I'm saying, and the necessity for it. So it's just good to see these things aligning and some of the things that you're doing down there in Ocala, how it's all kind of shaping and coming together. So
I'm excited. FCA, all of that, really excited getting to work with the College of Central Florida here in Ocala and getting to speak at the University of Florida. Mm-hmm. Like all of that stuff is just amazing and it's all for Christ and I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, right before you said it's all for Christ. And I was like, oh, I can't say that no more. And I was just about to say, don't let Stephanie get all humble on y'all. Like she, you know what I'm saying? She ain't out here moving. Because Stephanie is truly humble, and she's not going to, you know, brag on her, the things that she's doing and her accomplishments. But after she just said, this is all for Christ, then we have to kind of throw that out the window because, you know, it's all for him.
Nothing to do with me. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just the pawn in the game, right? But yeah. So yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I'm excited. And like I said, please join if you can. We'd love to have you. And even like Jared said with Brunch with Believers, you know, that's the Crowned One YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And so there are 13 or 14 episodes already out there that, right. You know, if you want to go and look at them, and then we just talked about it, about to get back to it. So even that, I'm just excited about everything that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's jump into this. Who's really right?
Yeah.
I'm anxious to talk about, I'm always anxious to talk about them, but I'm anxious to talk about this one in particular because it is rare that we do a Who's Really Right and Stephanie and I discuss it and have kind of already locked in where we are. And then I just kind of change it up on the day of the show. It's rare that I do that.
It's rare.
I try not to do that, but
something, it is what it is. I do it all the time. So.
Something hit me to the core today that I was thinking about as I was thinking about this, Who's Really Right.
Okay.
And so I'm going to save mine for last. Ladies first. Our Who's Really Right is, for this NFL season, who is on the hot seat? And we're only looking at the quarterback of the team and the head coach. So out of the 32 teams in the NFL, which quarterback is on the hot seat and what head coach is on the hot seat?
Okay. So when we first had this conversation, because we do have production meetings, I had one person in mind, right? And I was like, I still feel like that person might be, your words, on a lukewarm
seat. On a lukewarm seat.
They might be on a lukewarm seat. But the person that I feel like is definitely on the hot seat right now, assuming that it stays the way it is currently, right? Is Jimmy Garoppolo for the San Francisco 49ers. And I say this because his team got to a certain point this past season in the postseason, and it was clear in that situation that he was the one that needed to step up, and he did not. Deebo Samuel just carried the team, being everybody. And that was clear, because when they shut that down, then what do you have? But as quarterback, you've got to be able to, you know what I mean? Like, make the adjustments or do what you need to do or whatever. It shouldn't be that your coach feels like you got to depend on your person. It should be your wide receiver or your running back. Or, you know, it shouldn't be that. You should be, as quarterback, you kind of captain the team. And so I feel like he needs to take that next step to be more assertive as a quarterback. Leader of his team, ownership that this is his team, because I feel like that has always been his issue, that he's never felt like he really was the man. It was I was defaulted into this kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like even though he was traded for to come and play quarterback, it still just has never felt like it was his team. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's old Raggedy Kyle Shanahan and how he making him feel about it or what, but yeah.
Well, I think it's a product of, you know, I'm a second round pick. I get drafted by who most people can, I get drafted to the play Patriots. Behind who most people consider the GOAT.
The GOAT. Oh, yeah.
And to play for the coach who most people consider the GOAT, right?
Right.
And so I do that, In his absence, I play well until I'm injured, and then I get traded. Right? Then I get traded, go to a team. At that point, was Kyle Shanahan his coach the first year? Okay. You know, I play well, get injured. Play well enough, get injured. And so I just think that there hasn't been a lot. And then y'all bring in a quarterback that y'all drafted in the first round.
Yeah, that's a big statement right there.
I feel like his seat has always been hot. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. That's my point. Yeah. But it's definitely, I feel like we're going into year two. What's the kid's name? I can't
think of it. Trey Lance.
Trey Lance. We're going into year two. He might have a better grasp on things. You know what I mean? Like, because he had to come in those moments when you were hurt last year every once in a while, or they even had offense that they, like, had for him. So I feel like Kyle Shanahan is probably like, I'm going to put my efforts into this kid and not this guy. You know what I mean? I want to see him, because we drafted him in the first round. That's not a little statement. Right. That's a big statement. And so I feel like that's going to be why he's on the hot seat. Like, your job is on the line, boo-boo.
Yeah.
It is. Your job is on the line with your beautiful self. Your job is on the line. Anyway, I had to throw that in there because he is. So my coach, what'd you say?
No. I was laughing though at your beautiful self.
So the coach that I feel like is on the hot seat as well, he should be, because he's absolutely shown me zero as to why he should continue to be the coach, is Mike McCarthy of the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
The decision.
It's time for him to go.
I don't even know why he was your choice in the first place. I'm going to be honest. I don't know why he was your choice in the first place. I mean, I feel like in Green Bay, you looked good because you had Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it. Like, you had Aaron Rodgers. That's not a knock or shade on Dak. I'm just saying, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. Let's be clear.
You said it's not a shade on Dak?
No, it's not. Oh, hush. No, it's not shade on Dak. it's because Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, period. I mean, Dak's good. He's even great, but he's not there yet, right? So, this is just showing up Mike McCarthy's inefficiencies as a head coach in this situation. And then let me just say this to his defense, I will come a bit, because he does have to also do this as head coach for Jerry Jones.
Say it again.
He has to be the head coach of a team that Jerry Jones.
Okay. So that is a good, you know what I'm saying?
To his defense. Okay, but I'm not defending him, but I'm saying, like,
yeah. That's a good defense, though. You know, because
I mean, it's a great defense, because that's a hindrance. That's a handicap.
How many head coaches, how many Super Bowl winning head coaches have been with the Cowboys and have done well for the Cowboys? Now, take Jimmy Johnson.
Bill Parcells, because I was going to say Jimmy Johnson, but Bill Parcells, okay, Wade Phillips, Jason Garrett wasn't a Super Bowl winning coach. And now we got him.
McCarthy. So now I probably would have chosen Mike McCarthy if you hadn't taken him, right? But I think that has to go into the consideration.
Absolutely. It doesn't take him off the hot seat.
Yeah, it doesn't take him off the hot seat, right.
No. Nope.
So, but I think that has to go into the consideration of why he may not be doing as well. Now, we've seen some incompetence, though, no doubt.
Listen, some of them calls last year, some of them, the decisions.
Yeah.
That's when it really rung true for me, because I would have given him the benefit of the doubt. You gotta do this for Jerry Jones. I get it. Like,
yeah.
but calls and decisions that were made, particularly last year,
mm-hmm.
with clock management, with timeouts, with all kinds of just stuff that just didn't make sense. Yeah. That was just basics, right?
Yeah.
And I think that Jerry Jones keeps searching for those Super Bowl winning coaches with the hopes that they will get him over the hump. But he is the hump.
He more
and
than
so until mama. That changes, you could have left Jason Garrett in the position as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
He was your best puppet ever.
Jason Garrett.
Yep. He was your best puppet ever. So until you get out of your own way, sir, I don't know that you'll get the result that you're looking for. I don't care which coach you go out and get.
Yeah.
So those are mine. Where you at? Quarterback.
My quarterback. We just mentioned him a minute ago.
I'm so angry with you that this is your choice.
I love that you proved my point with your take.
I did not prove your point.
No, you did.
I did not.
Dak Prescott. And this is my issue and the reason why I say that Dak Prescott is on the hot seat. Because Dak Prescott got that big contract. He got all of that money, right? Now, when you look into Dak Prescott's numbers, because we said that his numbers are really good to great, but when you look at his numbers against teams who are below 500, and then you look at his numbers against teams who are playoff contenders or above 500, then those numbers look a little different. He looks like a great quarterback against the horrible teams, and he looks like a average to below average quarterback against those playoff teams. And I think that's the reason why they get to the playoffs, even as being a higher seed, and they fizzle out.
Because now they're playing those caliber of teams that he has the worst record against, basically.
Right.
The worst numbers against.
Exactly. And so he's playing in the NFC East. All of the trash teams are in the NFC.
I was going to say, your favorite word to call them is the NFC
East. NFC East, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you're getting you're getting what, 6 wins against them every year.
Right.
Now you rattle off a couple of the other bad teams, then you're in playoff contention.
Right.
So
that's how Jason Garrett stayed 8-8.
Yeah. 6 in the division, and then he.
Yeah. 5 in the division, and he would win, luck up on 3 others.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it was going to be one of those teams is going to win one game.
Yeah, yeah. And it usually was like the Eagles, because it was a good stretch in there where my former team, they would just beat them like a drum twice a year.
Did you say your – wait. We're not going to just slide over that. Your former team?
Yeah. Until we get rid of the owner, I'm denouncing my fandom.
I don't blame you. I don't have that issue. We got a great owner.
Right, I know. I ain't got a great head coach.
I don't blame you. Our team is trash, but but that's okay. Anyway, but yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So my head coach.
Yep.
Do you remember the name David Culley?
Dang, no, who is this?
So, Lovie Smith is the head coach of the Houston Texans right now.
Uh-huh.
But before him, it was David Culley.
I didn't even know the coach. You know what? Because after, what's his name, left, and then all of that stuff went down with Deshaun, I literally, it's like I blocked the Houston Texans out of my head.
Well, they brought him in, black head coach who had been an assistant for a long, long time.
Okay.
They brought him in. They thought that he would be able to kind of reason with Deshaun, and that never happened. So he got 1 year as the head coach last year.
I didn't even know he was black.
Yeah.
That's so bad, Stephanie. That's horrible. I literally blocked him all the way out.
Stephanie, making my point. Making my point right here. Making my point. You are making my point. So, David Culley got 1 year, and they let him go.
I was not about to say this.
So he walked in on the hot seat because I don't think they wanted him as the head coach anyway. My coach that's on the hot seat this year, Mike McDaniel.
Is who?
Mike McDaniel. You don't even know who that is. Head coach of the Dolphins.
Come on, man. That's too easy. That's a layup. That's an alley-oop right there.
Listen.
For real. Come on. Yeah.
So you see my drift. I don't think he got that position off of his own merit. I think given what happened with I'm not going to say this. Yeah, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I think what happened with Brian Flores forced them to have to hire a black man. Another black man. But they went diet black. And so what I feel, because my man ain't even want to identify as black. So whatever. What I feel is that he is going to have this season. And I get they went out and got Tyreek Hill. Cool. But you still got what's the boy name at quarterback? Tagovailoa.
Tua. Yeah.
So still got him a quarterback.
Yeah.
You're going to be awful this season. And this will be his one and only season as a head coach.
One and done.
Mike McDaniel, I'm sorry that I chose you, but
ooh.
I mean.
Dang. That's so bad. Is that hot seat though?
Oh, it's one.
Were you even like maybe your seat is just one of those ejectable seats? It makes me think of Fast and Furious, like you know, like with the button.
Press the button. Eject them right out of the seat.
Yeah, I don't, is it hot or is it just ejectable? Like,
you know, so I think what would be more appropriate than a hot seat is that, and I caution saying, I'm just gonna say it. more appropriate. Lee term, instead of it being a hot seat, he's a crash dummy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I thought you were going to say Lovey, because that's possible too.
Oh, no. I think that he may have gotten hired for the same reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Let us not forget when there was the all-black head coach Super Bowl, Lovey Smith was one of those head coaches.
Correct.
And so we know that he can lead a team to a Super Bowl because he's
absolutely
done.
Absolutely.
And he had Rex Grossman as his quarterback. So I feel like even if you feel like at the last couple of years while he was at Illinois and you know while he was a lead coordinator there, that he hadn't done that great, you still know that he's a Super Bowl caliber head coach.
Because he's supposed to be somebody's NFL head coach, not somebody's whatever coordinator in a college. That's why.
Yeah.
He never should have had his job even on the line, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
So, because I think you never gave him a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyway. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. What's his name? McDaniel? I'm sorry,
Mike,
boo.
Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel. I'm so sorry, boo.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's a bad thing. Okay, well,
sorry for you.
Y'all let us know.
Let us know who you think is really right. What quarterback is on the hot seat and what head coach is on the hot seat. Real good topic. Jesus.
Yeah.
So, we know that Aaron Donald of the Los Angeles Rams is waiting on a new deal.
Yeah.
And what he said, and I believe he said this on I Am Athlete, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I get them mixed up. I Am Athlete and The Pivot. And I know that.
No, he was on I Am Athlete when he said this. Yes.
So he says that he is at peace if there is no deal reached and he would be good with retiring. I mean,
He said this from like right after the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I feel like that's really where his head is. Like, yeah.
like, I still want to play in LA.
Yeah.
Give me my money. I'm comfortable going into retirement. I got my Super Bowl.
I mean, at this point, literally, that's probably one of the things that I feel like most, that once you reach that, unless you're a junkie about it, like Tom Brady, right? Most of them, when they, because that's what you do it for. That's what you play for, right?
Yeah.
Get that. And when you get that, what's the point?
Yeah.
Right? In some of their minds, because they don't love it like that. Oh, yeah. Like, it's been good. It's something I enjoy, but I don't love it like that. And so
right.
He just might be one. I mean, would we miss him in football? Absolutely. Because hands down, the man stands above all the rest, honestly. Mm-hmm. So the talent, I'm all for the people leaving when they on top too. Like, mm-hmm. I love it. Like, bow out gracefully, like,
right.
No, I'm not too old to do this. No, I'm not at a level that I can't do this. This is my choice. This is what I want to do.
Leave when you're done with the game and not when the game is
done. Not when it's done with you. That's right. So I'm here for it. I mean, yeah. They would be idiots to not figure out how to keep him. But, hey, what do we know?
I think that because of the payroll that they have, and I, you know what? No, I'm not even going to say that, because I feel like these capologists in these organizations, they know how to get the job done, and they know how to pay who they want to pay. I feel like they can, all of the little tricks that they use, they can figure out how to make him the highest paid, if not player in the NFL. At least one of the highest paid people on defense.
Yeah. And he deserves that. My goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, he deserves that. So that's the least you can do. You need to figure that out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But if he, I just would hate to see him leave. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I would hate to see him leave. That's what I'll say. All right.
Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Goes on First Take, and he says that Dak Prescott needs to do better. How do you feel about that? Because you already know how I feel about it.
I do. I feel like this is a... This is tough for me, because I like Dak.
Mm-hmm.
I just like Dak, right? I like Dak's effort. I like Dak as a person. I like how honest and open Dak has been about his mental health. I like how he shares about his feel. I like Dak. I like Dak the player. Like, I just like Dak. But if I take my emotional side out of this, right? Mm-hmm. I was about to say something else. I'm glad I just said emotional. My emotional side out of this. I guess I understand your argument to some degree and Stephen A's argument. But I'm going to still go back to my first point, that the head dictates the result.
Mm-hmm.
And until this head can unswell, mm-hmm. and stay in his lane,
mm-hmm.
you are detrimental to anybody.
I agree.
And I'm going to just leave it at that.
I'm with you. You know, they gave away, last year they gave away his, this past offseason, they gave away his biggest or his most productive receiver
mm-hmm.
for pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know what you're supposed to do. What is he supposed to do? Zeke didn't have a Zeke, he did not have an Ezekiel season.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt, well, I'm gonna tell you what I see, what I saw. I saw Dak Prescott giving 110% and running out of gas at some point. He was just, or losing motivation. I don't know which one it was, but I feel like there's some behind the scenes thing that have nothing to do with his ability to play the game. Mm-hmm. He's already talked about his mental health and how, you know, it's kind of fragile because of things that have happened between his own injury, his brother's suicide, like his mother's death. It's just a lot of things that happened that, and to play for dysfunctionality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things that I think about when I think about Dak Prescott, and it makes me admire him that he plays as well as he does, given all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that you play for the Cowboys. Let's not dismiss that. And that was Stephen A's whole point. Like, you play for America's team. They have a different expectation of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, America's team need to get it together. That's all.
Yeah, that's true. So it's not just that. But the reality is,
it's not just Dak. It's not.
And reality so, is, when you are the quarterback of that team, a lot of it's going to fall on your shoulders.
I know. It's not fair.
Yeah.
That's it. But, yeah. Okay. So, can he do better? Of course, they can all do better.
Yeah.
Even everybody GOAT can do better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, he can do better. I agree. But so does everybody else in the organization. They need to do better, too. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He got the eyes on him, though.
We'll see. I don't know.
He ain't going to escape the criticism.
No. I mean, no quarterback escapes criticism, but especially not a black quarterback. You're definitely not going to escape criticism.
Yeah, no,
so just be ready. That's why I love Lamar Jackson. Because when the criticism comes, he knows how to clap back.
Mm-hmm.
Shut you down. Push your mouth.
Man.
So I love that about him. He is not, he's like, I don't get what you say. What, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I love that about him. Most of them are not that way.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are not that way. So I'm rooting for you, Dak. I'm in your corner, boo.
I'm not.
You want him to leave?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind him making this way.
I don't mind him being on the hot seat. If I got to find a reason, that's a reason for I don't mind him being on the hot seat. If it'll get him out of Dallas,
I think he could thrive somewhere else.
See, he would have. I tell you, if he was still the coach, where I saw that he would have been. And Lord knows this is blasphemy coming from me, but New Orleans. With Sean Payton.
That would have been special.
Woo.
With that big arm he has. Yeah.
Woo.
That would have been special.
But Sean Payton know what to do with it. If he can do that with Drew Brees.
Right.
He know what to do with it. Listen, that would have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a shame. He could come to Dallas if Jerry Jones would sit down.
Nah, he ain't going to Dallas.
He not going. I know that. He's smart. He wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying that would be those two together somewhere would be amazing.
That would be a good look. I wanted to see him with another year, a full year with Jameis Winston, because Jameis Winston has the arm, he has the talent. I just think that he mentally he hadn't always been there.
That's what I did like this. It's up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's not happening. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All
let's
right.
Look at, the NFL has renewed 21 social justice grants. What does that mean?
I wish I knew. Like watching
the grants going to?
Watching the basketball game last night made this point even more relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you watch the game last night?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the commercials I don't know if it was a commercial, but one of the things that they brought up was their NBA foundation.
Mm-hmm.
and their social justice grant is the NBA Foundation, mm-hmm. and that their goal is to help African American. So they're very clear about what this is about, mm-hmm. to help African American kids. It's not about sports. Helping African American kids have a leg up for career and college. Mm-hmm. So they have two different programs that they do.
Clear.
That focus mm-hmm. in that realm. They have made a decision mm-hmm. as a league that what we're going to do versus pouring money into, you know, some social activist kind of thing. We're going to put our money into these kids and invest in what is going to get us, you know what I mean? What is going to truly bring about what we hope will be some equity and equality and some social, it's not even about justice, it's just social equality.
Yeah.
Right? Social and equity. So that's their, yeah, social equity. So that is their, that's the focus they've taken, and they were really clear in their mm-hmm. in their messaging. I have not seen that. Have you?
That's why I'm like, what does that mean?
Who's 21 the money going grants? To? What are you? What are they going to? What? Mm-hmm. Who are they going to? And what are they for?
Right, because you can just slap social justice on anything, and it can go to anybody.
That's a lot of money floating around.
I'm not going to make the joke that I made yesterday.
Grant, but 21 grants is a lot.
Yeah. Especially with the NFL long money. I'm not gonna make the joke that I made yesterday when we discussed this. I'm not gonna make that joke.
Anyway. Whew, okay, y'all. I'm not going there. Okay. So it's just, I would like to see them be more pointed, I say, in what that means and where that money is being spent, because I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's sport, out of sport. I don't care where it is. If there is not a clear mission. So, in other words, the NFL does not have a clear mission of where they intend for those funds to go. So, you know, like as a grant writer, somebody who's run a nonprofit grant writer, right? When I look at grants, they have very specific areas in which they operate. These are the things that we will fund you for. Mm-hmm. And you can go and look at what they're funding. And then if you look at their About Us page or, you know, their smack story, you'll see it makes sense as to why these are the areas that they're focused on, because this is why they started the foundation, or this is why they're doing the work that they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. I need to be able to look at the NFL story and say, oh, okay, it makes sense. This is why you're giving money to XYZ types of organizations or to this or to that, like make it make sense. Mm-hmm. And then it could be that it makes sense somewhere and I haven't seen that. But what I loved about what the NBA did was they were very transparent.
They put it out there.
They put it out there. Nobody's having to guess, wonder, worry, where the money that, if I'm the person that's saying I want to have somewhere philanthropic ideas of places I want to spend my money, and I know this is what the NBA is doing, I might put money there.
And it's not like the NFL will be surreptitious with information.
So we're gonna need them to think about that and literally just. You probably, and like I said, I don't know. They probably do have messaging. They probably do have a clear focus, I hope. Mm-hmm. This wasn't reactionary and they're just throwing money at something to make it look like they're doing something. That is my fear. Mm-hmm. But that they have a clear focus of what it is and why they're doing what they're doing. You got to know the why. So and sharing the why with other people is not as necessary as what. Like the NBA is not sharing, we know why kind of, but they're not sharing their why, but they are saying, this is what we're doing because of our why. Just share your what. What is 21 grants? That's great, but what are you doing? Put that out there. People need to hear, need to know.
Right, especially coming from y'all.
They need to hear, they need to know. Like, dude, just that little thing. It's just little. Like, I know that the NFL probably put some monies even into like mental health. Like they have, you know, like they like the Pro Football Hall of Fame Behavioral Health Program or other programs that that are out there for NFL and former NFL players, right? Nobody, I just am a researcher and a reader. It's the only reason I knew about the Pro Football Hall of Fame Behavioral Health Program that I was part of. It's the only reason. You all are not putting that out there to people, and I don't know why. Anyway, soapbox. Sorry.
No. That's real. I mean, like I said, like the NFL, they'll put that out there, but won't, you know, you got to go digging. And that's, I think that's the thing. You got to go digging to see like who this money is going to. And to me, I feel like this is the reason why, because much like how Juneteenth is trademarked now by some white corporation, you know, we may not want to put out there where this money is going to or who is being affected by this money and what real work they're doing. So we'll just say, yeah, social justice. We put out 21 grants. But where's it going and who's it going to and what purpose is it serving?
Right.
Real roll call.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to stick with our theme.
All right. Let's
1 minute, 30 seconds per. And we're going to start off with which NBA team needs to be blown up? I was going to say playoff team, but there's one team in there that did not make the playoffs. Why you had to laugh at that like that? Why you had to laugh so hard like that?
That's funny.
Terrible. Which NBA team needs to be blown up? Is it the Phoenix Suns?
Yep.
Is it the Brooklyn Nets? Is it the Miami Heat? Is it the New Orleans Pelicans? Or is it the Los Angeles Lakers? And you are on the clock.
All right. So my first thought was obviously the Lakers, because I feel like it's just top heavy and it's not going to work. But we've discussed that. They can't do anything about it right now. So whatever. So I feel like it's the Suns. I feel like you just need to narrow it down to that one person, and it's Devin Booker, honestly, that you keep and you build around. Yep.
Right. Now who do they need to get rid of?
Chris Paul.
Okay. And why?
I didn't say it's because he's cursed.
No, I know I said it, but I know you agree now.
I don't.
It is a mountain of evidence.
I don't agree that it's him, but okay. That it's because he's cursed. It's not.
All right. My team is the Nets. The Brooklyn Nets. Blow that thing up. I would even get rid of KD and start afresh. Trade him and get pieces.
Wait, we don't keep nobody?
Head coach? Steve Kerr. Steve Nash. He got to go too. Wow. Get rid of everybody.
Everybody. You really want to blow it up. Blow it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. So this full circle moment is going on right now during the NBA Finals, because the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Ime Udoka, has played 6 times against now NBA, MVP, huh?
13 years in now. Wow.
13. Well, yeah, wow. I know. The time has been moving.
Right.
Steph Curry, when he was a member of the Sacramento Kings in 2009.
Yeah.
How does it, like, when you see these things, because, you know, obviously this isn't the only time that we've seen this.
Right.
What do you think when you see these things? 1 o'clock.
First, I think, wow, like you just said, time is really flying because mm-hmm. Steph Curry has now played against three coaches.
Right.
Who he played against. Mm-hmm. As players, crazy.
Right.
But I think it's really amazing for Udoka because of his journey and how he got here. And so I'm really just excited for him, mostly in this.
Yeah.
He was so cool, calm, and poised last night, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And so it was great to watch. Even though they beat my team, it was great to watch. Go. You on the clock.
I always think it's cool when the players play against the coaches who they played against when they were in the league. But I'm fascinated by the fact that and I know it's my goat, LeBron actually being coached by somebody he played against in Ty Lue.
Yeah. He being coached by him, not that you're playing against the coach, that you're coach. Yeah, that's
actually meant, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
Yeah.
Does this Darvin Ham hire for the Lakers move the needle at all? And
what needle? For the Lakers?
Yeah.
No, this is no knock to Darvin Ham. This has nothing to do with him. This is. Back to my point I just made about the Cowboys.
About Jerry Jones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeannie Buss is the head. And it's to that head, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Is she going to let him coach? If she lets him coach, perhaps.
So
if she lets him coach.
This is why I feel like this may move the needle. One of the things that Darvin Ham argued for is having complete autonomy with coaching. With picking his coaching staff, and he was granted that. So, I think it's possible.
You said with coaching or picking his, was it both or that he gets to pick?
Both. One of the things that they, you know, kind of was settled on is that Kurt Rambis couldn't be in none of the coaches' meetings.
Okay, I am impressed, Mr. Ham. I am not mad at you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Maybe.
We'll see how, because that is actions speak louder than words.
That's true.
We'll see.
Yeah. But I feel like that's something that
he might have said anything to get him to agree to it because nobody wanted the job.
Oh, no. You're going to write that in my contract. All these terms that we ain't just going to discuss them, there'll be little things in my contract. And when, you know, we start.
Issues. We're going back to this paper.
Right.
You see what you said?
Yeah, you said this.
Yeah.
On to the real.
Yeah.
All right. Now this one was, it's funny because initially we didn't have a on to the real. Soon as we got off the phone, as soon as we ended our production, and I was like, how did I forget this?
Yes.
Tracy McGrady. And the reason why I love this story and I love this is on to the real. Tracy McGrady is someone who I saw. He really tried different things after leaving the NBA.
He did.
I saw him go and be a pitcher in minor league baseball. I want to say it was like the River Crickets or something. He
those names are hilarious, man.
Yes. And he was pitching for that team. And to see that, like to see him go and do something that, you know, he was passionate about.
Yeah.
In the same vein of a Tim Tebow or Michael Jordan, and get the opportunity to actually pursue it was good. But I think one of the things that kind of stuck out to me was him explaining why he did this one-on-one league. So basically, he created this one-on-one league, not similar to, I mean, it's similar to the whole 3-on-3 league with the way that, the way that it'll travel all throughout, you know, the country and they'll play in different leagues. But instead of it being 3-on-3, it'll be 1-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that struck me about this is that he talked a lot about how he's always invested in other people's ideas and other people's dreams. And he had never trusted himself enough to invest in his. And so this is one that he completely invested in. They have not taken on any other investors or sponsors, And he put $10 million of his own money into this.
That's when you put the money where your mouth is.
Yes. Yeah. And so I thought it was big that he trusted himself enough. His idea enough. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is.
I'm going to invest in myself.
Yeah.
And what I believe in, what's important to me. That's awesome. Way to go, Trey. I like Trey Smith. I have loved him.
Me too.
From day one. Like, he is just that dude. Just that kind of dude. You just got to like it. Like,
yeah, shout out to my boy G. I think that's his favorite player. I think that's G's favorite player ever.
Okay.
You know how people, and the consensus is people, it's Kobe, Jordan, or
yeah, no, he like, no, it's Tracy McGrady.
He's like, nah, it's Tracy McGrady for me. So
yeah. I love it. I wonder if Vince is gonna help at all.
I'm willing to bet that he'll be involved in some way.
Yeah.
You know. I know that they're cousins.
Yeah, they cousins. So that'll be cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Feel good. Find a thought.
Yeah.
What we got, Steph?
So this one is really cool. Definitely a make you smile type of story. Ohio State player G. Scott Jr. Was going about his day one day. And a homeless man approached him and asked him, did he have some, you know, I imagine asked him for something. I don't know if it was money or food or whatever. And he told the gentleman, I don't have anything on me. If you wait an hour, I'll be back. And of course, you know, as a homeless person, he probably like, oh, he just said that, you know, I won't see him again. Da, da, da. You know, excuses that people give. This young man kept his word and he came back and he found him and he actually played football with him.
Yeah.
And then he took him to lunch and then he ended up taking him and getting him a hotel room.
Yeah.
And so this is being videoed and he's sitting down in the chair in the hotel room and the man is standing. And he's talking to him. He was like, is this good? He was like, man, you don't understand. And he said to him, I haven't had the ability to have a shower like this in over a year.
Wow.
That was like, what? Like, I told you jokingly when I told you this story, I said 24 hours and I'm feeling some kind of way. A whole year. I mean, I don't know that he's saying he hasn't showered in a year, but he hadn't had that,
like that.
You know, just private ability because he probably goes into shelters and stuff like that. You know, they have probably looks kind of like you at the gym kind of shower thing or stuff like that. So having that privacy to be able to just, you know, even if he wanted to get in the tub, you know, if he wanted to, that, but I just thought this kid's heart was beautiful.
Yeah.
He could have easily have just probably went back to his dorm room, popped back up with some money and given it to him. Or if he had asked, go get him something to eat and bring it to him. But he wanted him to feel like a human being.
And that honestly, that would have been thoughtful enough.
It would have been.
You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people, they see someone like that and they just walk right past him.
But and so for him to even think to go back would have been enough, but the fact that he made it special.
Yeah.
He made his day special for this person and he treated him humanely.
Right.
And you know, like, and this is an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful story. And I just thought, you know, it deserved more kudos from us. So that's it.
All right, show picks. What you watching?
I ain't really been watching a lot other than like the NBA playoffs and now the finals. I mean, my show came back up. The first thing I really, really paid attention to in a couple of weeks outside of sports is because I've been watching the USFL because, you know, supporting Jordan Moore, who was on our show.
Yes.
He was a guest co-host with me while you were out.
Right.
But he is now playing with the Philadelphia Stars in the USFL. So I try to catch those games to support him. And, you know, obviously basketball, Warriors, they still in it. So I'm watching. But I haven't really been watching that much of like TV per se. I did. My show came back on this week and I've
Sisters
came back on.
Yeah, I know.
So I had to watch that. But outside of that, I haven't really, that's funny. Like I haven't really been watching a lot of TV. I'll tell you something that I have been watching consistently. I will say this because it's like what's on in the morning for me. But I didn't watch it when it was on, which is funny. When it was actually airing on TV, I did not watch it because I watched the first episode and said, oh, I don't like this. But I'm addicted to it now, and that's NCIS New Orleans.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that they are so intentional about the culture of New Orleans.
I'm going to tell you what show, as a matter of fact, I'm going to stay with what I got. The show that you got to watch that is very intentional about the culture of New Orleans is Tremé on HBO.
Oh, well, you know I don't have HBO, but okay. Yeah. Okay.
I love that show. It's by the creators of The Wire, so you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Got it. What were you watching, bro?
I saw World War III last week. And while I've heard a lot of critics who criticize Cat Williams for not being Dave Chappelle, because he didn't touch any real heavy hitting issues.
Is that really just critique for real?
Yeah. I think that there was a segment of people who said that they didn't like the special because he didn't ruffle any feathers. And he was too, I guess, PC.
Vanilla for them.
Yeah.
Is that everybody? Is that supposed to be? I'm sorry, is something I missed that every comedian, Kevin Hart never does that. What are we talking about?
In fairness, Kevin Hart does get roasted for that too. But my thing is,
why?
If it's funny, it's funny. Right. I can decide what I want to talk about.
Ooh, I got another stuff. I did watch something that I have to mention, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
But no, that's it. That's it. Like, if you get an opportunity to check out that World War III stand-up,
it's a little raunchy. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah. It's a little raunchy, but hilarious.
It's Cat Williams. What do you expect?
Right.
I mean, what do we expect? But that made me think. I did watch the David Letterman's interview.
True. Okay.
Yeah. I watched the one with Cardi B.
Okay.
And Will Smith.
Okay. How was the one with Will Smith?
So this was pre-slap. They even said it at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
This was pre-slap. But it was actually very enlightening. Had no idea about a lot of Will's childhood stuff.
Yeah. They said a lot of that stuff was in the...
In his book. That's what they talked about. That was kind of the focal point of their conversation was around his book.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it sheds a lot of light, even in the aftermath of the slap coming after this.
Yeah.
Watching this sheds a lot of light to me on why.
Why that might have happened.
Mm-hmm. Because his dad was abusive to his mom and he felt like he didn't protect her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, okay.
Yeah.
I do need to check those out. I said I wanted to
see Cardi B. I love those. Listen, David Letterman, I love those. They're great.
I'm trying to think, was it the Eddie Murphy one did us?
I think it I saw was, Dave I Chappelle. Like, when President Obama was on there. Yes,
I saw watched Obama, that one. Yeah.
I watched, yeah. Like, I think I watched all of the ones from his first season.
Yeah.
And I still want to watch the one with Ryan Reynolds because I love Ryan Reynolds. He is hilarious to me.
Yeah, he is.
So,
he's just hilarious.
He is hilarious. So there you go. That's really what I'm, okay, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Steph, we are at the end of episode 163.
Yep.
If you guys want to get in touch with us, you can email us at fieldthenumber2therealpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to hit us up on our socials, we have a few. Our Twitter is at fieldthenumber2therealp1. Our Instagram account is at fieldthenumber2therealpodcast. If you look just above Stephanie's head and you want to search for us on Facebook or our YouTube page, is fieldthetherealpodcast, no number. It's the word T-O. And go to our Facebook page and subscribe. Go to our YouTube page, like, share, subscribe, comment. Hit the like button on the video. And hit that little bell so that, you know, anytime we come out with a new video, you'll get, you know, an alert to see that we just dropped something new.
Yeah.
But this is the end of episode 163. We love you guys, but we are out of here. Peace. You peace. Almost put that in.
I thought about it. Let me put all five up. Just in case one of them disappears.
They disappearing.
Now put the cameras on me. 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 Put the cameras on me.